Welcome to the Legacy Podcast. This podcast is a series of conversations centered around understanding the values, beliefs, and intentions behind leaving a legacy. You will hear from successful business owners just like yourself who want to leave an impact for generations to come. Let's get started. Welcome to the Business Legacy Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Dio. I have an awesome guest today. His name's Harry Shurick. He's founder of The Crypto Accountant. Welcome, Harry.
Oh, thank you.
Harry, tell us a little bit about your story and how you got here.
Well, it's a story. So let's see. So we started, I have a whole sales and banking background actually that precedes my whole accounting career. I did about 6 or 8 years in banking between teller sales, financial sales, license sales. I had about 8 years in retail sales, sold furniture for about 8 years. So in that time, I basically put myself through college while working full-time retail. I got my bachelor's degree and I got my master's in accounting. Came out after doing, I did taxes for a couple of years for friends while I was in school since about 2004. 2007, I started in public. 2009, I ended up starting my own practice. We grew to about 800 clients in the first 8 years. It was a good mix of about, 500 or so small to medium-sized businesses across all different industries, a whole bunch of personal taxes. 2015, I found someone introduced me to the cannabis space, really for investing purposes when it first started going legal nationwide or in different states. I went out to a few different states in 1 week and met with a bunch of different groups and found some good opportunities, but there were residency requirements that were in place, so it kind of prevented us from investing at that time, the group that I was with. But I did uncover the hole in accounting, where there weren't many accountants that actually wanted to help companies in that space at that time. So I started looking for clients. One of the people looking for investment talked to him about accounting. He ended up hiring me. He had 5 stores in Oregon, ended up being a vertical reintegrated company. After doing it for a couple of years in that industry, I realized there was some opportunity there to go a little bigger. And I sold off the majority of my local practice, about 600 clients, to a local accounting firm and went national with the cannabis side. So ended up and we've helped over 100 licensees in over 23 states at this point. So we've been now there about 8 years, one of the oldest practicing cannabis accounting firms in the industry. And about 5 years ago in 2017, I had clients that started getting heavily involved in crypto, both from the trading side, the mining side. So I was very curious and interested. And I also learned about mining and trading. And since then, I've been pretty much involved in every piece of it, mining, trading, DeFi. We started the Crypto Accountant about 1.5, 2 years ago, officially, to help people on a broader scale. And that's where we are now. So now we have a pretty diverse practice in different areas and just kind of helping people with the new technologies, new ways of doing taxes.
That's great. Why do you think, you'd mentioned why do you think people or accountants don't necessarily want to get into the cannabis space or the crypto space?
Well, it's a couple things. Years ago, it was because everybody was dealing with cash. That was a big thing for cannabis. Like one of my first clients, we were trying to figure out where some money came from in one of his investments, and he couldn't remember where it came from. And one day he texted me and said, I remember. And he said, I found it. I figured it out. I met the investor twice at a gas station, and he gave me cash in a duffel bag. And that's how he invested in my company. And, I guess I'm a little more open-minded and a little more out of the box than most accountants. So that kind of stuff didn't really scare me. And, again, the thing about accountants is a lot of accountants are very happy inside the box that they know. And when it comes to learning new industries and you have a federally illegal product, you're dealing with not the most typical kind of business person, especially back in 2015 when I started, it was way before the corporations, the big corporations and the hedge funds that even got into the space. So it was definitely a different environment. But for me, I saw opportunity and a bunch of people that needed to file taxes and nobody was helping them. So I learned a new skill and really made a whole practice out of it.
What's the most difficult part about reconciling crypto transactions or doing the taxes for crypto?
crypto is its own kind of beast. The crazy thing about crypto is literally every client we pick up, how I put it, does crypto in a different way. You know, it's like they may be mining, they may be trading, they may be doing DeFi, they may have nodes, they may have staking, they have other projects, they may get paid in crypto, they may do it through a company, they may do it through their personal account, they may do it in both. What makes it difficult a lot of times is that, you know, as a crypto person myself, I understand just like, you know, I always say that, you know, you have to be in crypto to understand crypto. You know, there's so many pieces of the puzzle. And so a lot of times you end up setting up a wallet or an exchange that you forget about. And that may have had some coins that moved around as part of the process. And if you forget about that one piece of the chain, well, then it throws out the whole connection. So that could be a little tricky. I mean, honestly, crypto itself is the crypto accounting side is definitely tricky. It's definitely involved. I think it's going to be very hard for people that aren't literally in crypto and know how the money moves around to really learn this from the outside, especially in my world of accountants and tax people who really just kind of thought it was a fad and it was going to go away. You know, I mean, it's not just buying Bitcoin and selling Bitcoin. It's all of the taxation and all the moves in the middle. It's the DeFi. It's understanding the fees, the transaction fees, the gas fees, how it moves from one place to another. Why is there no cost basis record from one exchange to another? I mean, there's so many pieces to it. And it's such a new thing. And really, for the last, you know, crypto's been around for so many years, but DeFi kind of tripped everybody up this last year to make them really start jumping up and filing taxes on it to where, you know, everyone kind of thought that there was some anonymity here, where in the reality, it's a blockchain. So it's out there. It's just knowing where the pieces are to put it together.
Great. For the audience members that don't know what DeFi is, can you explain what DeFi is?
Decentralized finance. It's more like the altcoins and the other trading, not the Bitcoin, not the Ethereum, but kind of the other activities I mentioned. A lot of DeFi coins are kind of like Shiba or Floki or things like that, or other activities that would not be in the typical finance realm.
Got it. Now, if you're an accounting firm that's out there, how are you able to collaborate with the existing accounting firms to make sure that their clients are taken care of?
So we're actually about to launch a national campaign for that, because most of our business this year has actually been getting people's numbers put together for accounting firms. So again, I think that the thing is, there's a huge learning curve here. And it took me 5 years of not only doing accounting for it, but also putting my money in, seeing it go up and down and seeing how it really worked. So what we offer a lot of accounting firms is, we're not trying to take your clients, but we'll take your clients' information and we'll put it together in a format and put it into forms that they're used to seeing, like with the schedules they're used to seeing, you know, so they can drop it into a tax return. They get an audit record to defend the position they're taking, so they can feel comfortable with what they're signing on the return, and they don't have to learn a whole new skill set. And then everybody's comfortable. And you know, and really, we're really telling people this year, not only can we help you with the stuff from last year, but really let's talk about this year as well, because the year's not over and we can still make some tax planning moves before the year's out by having the information now instead of later.
Got it. What does your team usually tell your clients about the volatility of crypto?
I think most of my clients understand the volatility of crypto, to be honest. I mean, especially now, anyone who's been in it for a minute has definitely experienced it in one form or another. I think the hard part for people is when you have a lot of, you know, you have situations where, you know, if I don't cash out my coin, but I move it into other coins and I roll that coin over and over, and I basically total up a bunch of gains in that process, at some point, if I lose the value of the coin I eventually roll into, well, they're still liable for the taxes on those other gains. Mm-hmm. So, and whether they're long-term gains or short-term gains, depends on how they, you know, actually how they're going to hit the tax return. So I think that's the trickiest part when the volatility comes in, because like we have a lot of people right now who really popped last year, obviously, when everything really hit their peaks. And now things are not at that value anymore. And, you know, a lot of people held and a lot of that's down. and they sold some of it, and some went into other places. And again, I think that the big thing about crypto is that there's not a lot of planning that goes into it in the forefront, or monitoring like there is in other parts of the financial world. I think that as time goes on, being more proactive is going to make a big difference for that.
And for the novice out there that doesn't know anything about crypto, what are some resources, or what are just general places where you learned yourself?
Yeah, there's, I mean, again, it's been so long. I've been here for a minute. And really, it's the internet, but knowing where to go. I mean, at this point in time, it would be things like Coinbase, or really just the really big institutions that you know are going to have factual information. There are good courses out there. Again, you got to kind of vet what you're looking at and make sure that there's quality being provided. But, you know, I think in really talking to someone like myself who understands the industry and really what risks there are in different parts of it and what can really happen, you know, even like the Celsius thing that just happened. You know, I mean, that's a lot of, had a lot of clients that did really well on Celsius in the past, and it looks like it's a great place to put your money, but you're not going to get it back right now if you put it there, you know? So there's just, there's the thing about crypto is there, it's so much information and so dynamic. And like, I was thinking to myself the other day, actually, that I don't really know if you can be a crypto expert. There's too many aspects here. You know, there's so much here that to be an expert implies that you'd have to, I mean, you can be really knowledgeable about certain aspects of it, but I just think this is such a dynamic and fast moving space that, I mean, I learned so much from my clients on different coins and protocols that I weren't, you know, because there's just hundreds and hundreds of them out there, you know? So, I mean, it's, so for a new person, I would just say really tread lightly, be careful of where you're putting your money, and really talk to people that have been here for a minute and understand what the space really entails and what risks there are. And I mean, obviously risk, with risk comes reward, but you know, we see that right now we're in a crazy crypto time where it's a bounce of prices. It's just bouncing up and down right now. So you really kind of have to understand what you're putting money in to understand if there's going to be value later in it.
Now, you're not your typical accountant. I mean, the reason why I say that is because it seems like you've dabbled in so many different areas and tested things. Where do you think that personality comes from? Where are those traits come from?
Oh, my personality? To be the entrepreneurial accountants? My family is very entrepreneurial. We have some pretty, I have some pretty successful business people in my family. Really, I like the challenge. You know, I usually, it's, accounting was honestly getting a little boring to me after, before I found cannabis. I was kind of getting a little burnt out because it was, again, I had hundreds of clients. It was basically the same thing. You know, they were different kinds of industries and stuff, but there was, they kind of roll into the similar buckets, and it was the same thing in and out. And I saw opportunity and I said, okay, well, this is a new space that there may be a way to do some business. And, you know, I also come from a sales background, which most accountants don't have. So I was literally straight retail sales, straight commission retail sales for 8 years, selling furniture from my from 21 to 28 or so. And, you know, I mean, I can't say that I really am a big furniture guy or a big design guy. That's more my wife's thing. But, you know, she kind of keeps our house looking nice. I don't really look at that, but I sold a lot of furniture because I was very into what I was doing and I enjoyed dealing with people. I think a lot of accountants are also not as big on sales. One of the biggest questions I get when I interview CPAs for hiring practices, for hiring purposes, is, am I going to have to go sell and get business and bring it to the firm? I mean, and literally I always say no, because that's what we do and I'm okay with that. I just think people need to do work and want to learn and grow. I am definitely a unique bird being the, you know, crypto cannabis accountant. Really, I mean, I opened up a cannabis, national cannabis accounting firm out of Georgia in 2015. I mean, trust me, I mean, it's still not legal here. So, you know, I definitely got some looks and some comments and judgments. And but, you know, you just keep moving and see what you see is you believe in and your vision. And, you know, so, yeah, I just have a little different background than most accountants. So by the time I got here, I was used to sales and retail and customer service. And, you know, I've been doing sales since I mean, I had a paper route for 3 years when I was like 13, 14, 15. And I used the paper route to sell magazines to my clients for the school. And I was the number one seller in the school for magazines in like eighth or ninth grade. You know, so I mean, it's kind of in my blood, sales. I've always been very good with that. And really, I think that I also am a very non-judgmental person. And that comes across when I deal with people, and finances are such a sensitive area for people that when someone comes up to me and says, I haven't done 10 years of taxes, and I literally don't even respond except to, okay, what years? You know, where they're expecting some crazy face and a shock outburst. You know, it's everyone's got different situations. You know, I just want to help people and help them get to the next level, you know?
Great. Now, out of all your experience in sales, accounting, crypto, mining, whatever it be, what would you consider your best business decision?
Pivoting out of just accounting. I mean, it's still accounting, but, you know, again, my original model was local, Buford, Georgia. I'm still the number one ranked on the internet, still have the most reviews in the area, mygeorgiaaccountant.com, been here for 14 years. You know, it's a great little business, but, you know, venturing out to this other national practice, I mean, it took me from networking locally to networking on a national scale to go into different cities and states, and it opened up so many more opportunities. So I think that, you know, if I had stuck where I was, I'd probably have, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 clients now, and I'd have a lot of business, and I'd probably be pretty burnt out and bored of what I was doing if I even made it this long, because it was kind of the same old thing. And I think changing it also, when I sold my practice, from talking to, I don't know, 2 or 3 dozen like different CPA firms and other people that were looking at buying my practice, I learned a lot about how to do my business better. So really selling it gave me a lot of knowledge to get to the next level as I rebuilt, you know, the new format of what we became, the national firm.
In contrast to that, what would you say is your worst business decision so far?
Yeah, I thought about that one a lot too. That I think honestly, the worst business decision I ever make or have made was letting people's opinions really influence my goals. You know, a lot of times you see your vision and it's hard for other people to see it. You tell other people your vision, they don't have the same vision. They have their own questions, comments, criticisms, reasons it may not work because they may not understand. And it's definitely affected different things I've gone and tried to do in accounting and other things in life, other businesses. So where, you know, so I think sometimes you just need to, if you have a vision and a goal, you need to put your head down and sometimes just build it in silence and grow it and make it through. And if people don't believe your way and your vision, you just keep moving on and don't let that into your head, because it can definitely derail you. Because again, I don't think anybody really sees your vision. You know, like even right now, we're working on launching in the metaverse, which is very different than any accounting firm out there. We're like the fourth or fifth accounting firm, if even that. And people don't really understand what we're doing there. And I've really just kind of told people we're launching in the metaverse. And when we launch, it's a very innovative product that we're putting together. But I really have decided that based on past experiences, I'm just going to build it with the people that I've hired to help me build it. And we'll construct it as well as to what I see it going. And it's developed a lot to a lot more than I really even started. And when we launch, we'll see how it goes. And I really feel like it's a very innovative new technology and a new way to do business and bring collaboration and education to all these spaces I'm involved in. But again, I think that if I had told everybody to listen to their opinions, I may not be as far as I am in the process. So I think that really just if you have a goal and a dream in your head, just go for it. You know, I mean, I'm not saying listen to people along the way and take some advice, but don't take it to heart to the point where it can derail what you're going for.
Mm-hmm. Now, back to the topic of the show, legacy. When you think of legacy, what do you think of, and what type of legacy would you like to leave?
Yeah, that's another one I've been trying to answer for a minute since you asked me that a few weeks ago when we first spoke. I think really it's just knowing that you meant something here and you left something good. And you know, I've worked with hundreds of businesses and people and individuals, and help them grow their business and help them in different ways and giving them advice. You know, I've not only been the accountant, but I'm also sometimes the psychotherapist and the psychiatrist and, you know, the person they bounce ideas off of. And same kind of thing I just said, where, you know, I may don't let people get in your head and give you the wrong ideas. I mean, I've not always been the cheerleader, but I've always supported people's ideas and I've always really helped people grow and be successful around me. And, you know, the same thing with my family and the world and, you know, just leaving a good mark on the world. And, you know, I guess that's really it.
What do you enjoy the most about what you do?
Helping businesses. You know, my father had a company for a long time and he actually had accountants that didn't really do things the right way. And because he didn't really understand business as well, he wasn't as educated in business. And you got accountants to do things in certain ways that may not have been the right way, that may have had detrimental effects in the future because they weren't done properly. And, you know, I like knowing that when we help people, that we really are providing a help. And, you know, I mean, we're helping people's dreams succeed. You know, people put their whole lives into their business. And, you know, if we can help them take off this pressure. And look, taxes and accounting are awful. I know they are. Who wants to deal with that? I don't want to deal with my own, you know, but it's a business that needs to be done. And people need people that not only understand their business, but really care and actually want to see them succeed and aren't just there to collect a check, you know. So we really try to go above and beyond, even when clients are behind, to make sure they hit deadlines. You know, if there's things they're not doing that we can help them and help them save money or be more efficient or grow their business, or whether it's retirement things or, you know, products or depreciation laws or whatever, you know. Or on the other side, a lot of times we do have a lot, you do end up having a personal relationship with people because, again, it's your business and it's very personal with people. So I think that's the kind of the best part, is that I do get to help. We do get to help a lot of people keep their dreams moving.
Well, Harry, this has been fun. Where can we find more about you, and if they need more information?
Oh, I'm all over the place. You can find me at thecryptoaccountant.io, www.thecryptoaccountant.io. You can find me at mycannabisaccountant.com. You can find me at mygeorgiaaccountant.com. You can find me at my last name, Shurek, Shurek.com, which is about to be our national Big Four type model. You know, you can, and really I'm on Instagram under My Cannabis Accountant, ACCT. And soon you'll be able to find me on the metaverse. And we're going to have some pretty cool options for people to come in and learn about different tax laws. And we'll have tax talks on there virtually. I'm pretty findable.
Harry, thank you again. Founder of The Crypto Accountant and My Cannabis Accountant. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate your time. I enjoyed it.
Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Legacy Podcast. Now, if you can do us a favor and leave a review, any type of stars on any platform that you use, it would be greatly appreciated. For more information about us, the other co-hosts, and the Legacy Podcast, go to businesslegacypodcast.com. That's businesslegacypodcast.com. Have a great day.